Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, this is your host, Almeen, and I am so happy to spend this hour with you. I'm going to give you today a sneak preview into a book that will possibly not be published till about the end of 2008, but I wanted to go through in depth some of the wonderful information that is in it, and so that we can actually have this information before it's available to the public for reading material. What I wanted to start with today is to take a look at some of the libraries and the secrets that have come out of them that have opened that I have not shared with you before. And we will start with the ant libraries. And the ant libraries, the information on that came out when I was recently in South Africa. And wonderful events happened right after that released its information. So the Libraries of the Ants is the 129th library. And as we've described to you before, these libraries are laid out in terms of their structure and their relationship to one another. You know, they've been all over the world, and the Ant Library happens to be right here where I live, which is in Newport, Oregon, but the other libraries are scattered all the way from, you know, Poland, Seagull Libraries in Easter Island, and Libraries of the Black Bear, Mount Rainier, Washington, and so on. Wonderful locations all over the world where they've opened. It blesses the land. It brings more peace. It reduces crime. And it enhances the life of the people that live in the area. But the outlay of it follows the mathematical formula that is the higher mathematical formula of life. And the higher mathematical formula of life is laid out like the sound chambers of the cosmos, or one can call them the sound chambers of the human DNA, because, as usual, the human is so phenomenal in terms of being exactly the microcosm of the macrocosm. Now, we gave you some sound chambers laid out in the earlier books, such as Journey to the Heart of God and A Life of Miracles. And we discussed that there are three central petals, and then there are, and just imagine a little circle on a piece of paper, make three petals around that. And those were the very first libraries that opened, the Library of Isis, which the translations out of that, because in those days it opened a little slower, and I had all of, half of 2007 to finish writing that. And then we had the Library of the White Dove, which is in the Pacific Ocean. And then we had the Library of the Red Serpent, which opened in the Caucasus Mountains. But around that, there are another seven libraries. And then around that, there are another 12. That's all that we had when those earlier books were written prior to the ascension full blast beginning on the planet and in the cosmos in about 2005's early week of February. And so now we have gone through a massive ascension. Major things have happened to the DNA of humanity and the expansion of the cosmos as it included more and more other cosmoses, until finally, categorically, the statement is that within our cosmic membrane, the only individuated life, the only place where there are quantum physics level building blocks of life, or big macrocosmic life that keeps open a space. The only place where that is now is inside our cosmos. But you can imagine we've incorporated a great deal during this ascension process. And how the DNA has changed of the cosmos, of us, is that DNA was in Mother, awakened. She had gone into forgetfulness, if you will, and some of the chambers of her DNA were not online. Because around that circle of now we have 3, then we have 7, then we have 12, in 3 rings around the central circle, and the central circle is quite important, so we'll discuss it a little later. We now have 20, a row of 20 chambers, 20 libraries opened, then 33, then 54. So we have 1, 3, 7, 12, 20, 33, and 54. This is a mathematical sequence that replaces the Fibonacci sequence in higher life. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, that makes 129. That's why we have 129 libraries. Recently, when I was in South Africa, we had a most extraordinary event happen. It was an event that, to tell you the honest truth, came with some birth pains. I won't be, hiding that fact. We had a class that really didn't know me as well for the majority of them as my classes normally do, because I ask only one thing normally in a class. You know, it doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are. It helps if you've read a book, because then we are on the same page with a terminology and you will be a little less lost in the beginning. However, my brothers and sisters, I ask only one thing, and that's when someone comes to my class that they know that I'm their next step. This was not the case in Johannesburg because, you know, Amazon didn't distribute there anymore, and the distributor that did distribute my books there went out of business, and so at the end of the day, they didn't have much access to my materials. The students bought up every book that they could find in the bookstores in South Africa, and then there weren't any more there. So I had to literally persuade them that I was worth listening to, and, you know, secondly, that I was going to be telling them something that they needed to stretch their boundaries for. So it was a very, very uphill class, and also a class where some of the greatest miracles have happened. I often get letters calling me blasphemous and insane and all the rest of it from the fact that I've been told by the Infinite Mother since I started working with her in February of 2005, when she called me and said that I was supposed to turn keys in physicality with the masters that would gather around me doing this work, and they would know when to come and when not, and that under those circumstances, Mother has wanted me to become more public, something that is not necessarily my choice, but it is my choice because it's her choice. And so she wants me to give a lot of information for free. That's why we have got multiple shows. We've got, YouTube, iTunes, several places. It's all on our website, which is www.spiritualjourneys.com. But this exposure has been there so that people can get the information more rapidly. And we've got over 100 hours of free materials available for you with audio and now with video. And also, she is wanting me to make more digital lectures available, and we have already begun with that, so that people can, you know, although those would be the only ones you would pay for, you can download them, and it helps you if you're in a remote area. So, well, the books have been flying. We have the book The Windows into Eternity. And this book, which will be due and available October 2008, deals very much with the fact that the cosmos is a reflection of the chambers of the Infinite Mother's DNA. It is a book of most precious and priceless information about the being of the Infinite, him herself, because there's at this point equal masculine and feminine expressing. And the so there's equally feminine, equally masculine, but for me, the Infinite has always appeared as the Holy Mother. And then, of course, in October 2007, as I've mentioned, I for the first time came in contact with the Holy Father. But these libraries that have opened, and especially what happened in South Africa, is what I want to talk to you about today. In South Africa, because of the uphill climb that my students had, because as you know, my work is at the cutting edge. Many of them hadn't heard of me before. Many of them were wonderful Orthodox Jewish people. And also a large percentage were psychologists or psychiatrists. And so, as to quote my one beautiful brother that came into class, the first day he came, he said to our facilitator, she is 90% psychotic, 10% not psychotic. By day two, I was 80% psychotic, 20% not psychotic. And on the last day of class, he came to the facilitator and he said, I think she's 90% accurate, and the other 10% I don't care about. So, as you can see, in 5 days, we had an enormous amount of progress, and in 2.5 days in Cape Town, we had to pull that rabbit right out of the hat and create a situation where their minds were able to accommodate such teachings that is cutting edge, and as Rumi says, the dancer seems mad when you cannot hear the music. My brothers and sisters, I know for those of you that are regular listeners that you are there because you're able to handle the cutting edge information. But it isn't everybody, and I absolutely understand that. So I am very grateful that you've hung in there with me, because every time you and I stretch, and believe me, I get stretched every day, we get more perception. The more perception that we have, the more power we have available. The more power we have available, the more we can transfigure day by day on a journey that never ends. So let's take a look at the big event that happened when the last Library of the Ants yielded its information on the final day of my Johannesburg lecture, in which every single race there was represented. We have had a holy city called the New Jerusalem in the Book of Revelation. And you must forgive me, I sometimes call it the Book of Revelations, and in fact, that's what I wrote it as in the Ring of Truth. It is actually called the Book of Revelation if you open the very last book of your Bible. But in Afrikaans, for instance, or in some of the other Germanic languages, it is Openbaringe, which means that there is a plural in there. So some languages has it as plural and some do not, and I primarily didn't start learning it in English. So in Revelation, it speaks about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. I had not the slightest idea that new and other holy cities would open, blessing those lands with enormous blessings. So the first one is the Oregon holy city that opened. As I've spoken to you about this, we have in the past been able to see the city. I've had in a class of maybe 30 people, I've had at least, I would say, close to 10 people able to see it or to feel it, because we were able at one point to get that city to lower enough that we could touch its walls. And at some point, so some of us could see the city by going outside and this house and look up, and 40 feet above my house, there's a gold foundation extending as far as the eye can see. So we've had multiple experiences with the city. I will share with you today its architecture. But then other cities opened when I was in Johannesburg in South Africa. And we will go through those this morning because this is brand new information and I need to share them with you. So let's take a quick break and I will be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Elmin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Elmin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the premier CD set. They are available from Elmin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
So the holy city that we've had, which we'll look at what it looks like and look at the incredible designs on it and what they mean and the great hall and how it looks and so on, above Oregon is positively charged. It's a positive pole. South Africa's holy city opened over the south, it's the southwestern portion of Johannesburg, which is the area of Soweto, where, of course, there's been massive problems. When I was there, there was an ethnic, quote, cleansing, which is a polite word for horrific slaughter of black people against black people that have come in as immigrants, and they were furious that they were taking their work. And so there were refugee camps next to some of the freeways where these poor people were being kept to try and keep them safe. But the effect of holy cities opening is far greater than the effects of the libraries in bringing ameliorating conditions to the country in which it opens. The South African New Jerusalem opened over the Soweto, but it's far larger than Soweto, area of Johannesburg, and is the negative pole. And then immediately after that, Ireland's neutral holy city opened over Dublin. And it's both negative and positive, because of that's the way that neutral is. So we had the first three cities opening as the one in Oregon in America, South Africa's one, and Ireland. When that was complete, a further 13 cities came into being. They formed in the twinkling of an eye. And the first city was Yalta, near Russia. near Yalta in Russia, and then near Hong Kong in China. And a fantastic city opened over Jerusalem, Israel. We have one that opened over Kuwait, and this one and one other one, I'm not quite sure the exact location of it. I need to get it because when I was given this information, it flooded in, and I was not able to catch that one. But those four are negatively charged. In other words, they are the more receptive poles. And then near Melbourne, Australia, near Santiago, Chile, and then also one in Ecuador, which I am not quite sure of the location. Toronto, Canada. Now, the Melbourne and one in Australia, the Santiago, Chile, the Ecuadorian one, the Canadian one over Toronto, these are neutral. Melbourne and Santiago is negative positive, and Ecuador, Toronto, is positive negative, meaning slightly more positive, and the Melbourne, Santiago slightly more negative, so that those actually pulse one another. Then we have one that opened in Ethiopia, Ceylon, Warsaw, Poland, and near Kyoto, Japan, which makes a total of 12 additional cities opening other than the original three. And then we have in the inner earth, we have near the city, and I know that you folks are not familiar with the maps inside the city perhaps, but if you do open the book that I've written, which is called Secrets of the Hidden Realms, it does give you the maps the way they used to be throughout the Middle Ages, which are some maps that have surfaced out on the internet. But 20 years ago, there was a major catastrophe in the inner earth, and those maps changed. And so at that time, the land masses were very different. It was a very large catastrophe because of the fact that the moisture froze, which had never happened. And then when it melted, there was such a huge flooding. But there is a city called Palinsk, P-A-A-L-I-N-S-K, which is positive negative. And Palinsk, in the inner earth, holds the 13th city. Now, I will just tell you this, my brothers and sisters, most of my students are not even aware of this, but we recently had one open over Tibet. So these cities, the instruction came from Mother, Kinash uspa kli ihim trava he, let the holy cities be formed on earth. So there was an entry in the Book of Life at the time, and it said, the masculine should give support, the feminine should receive. Let the masculine and feminine poles of all existence reflect this. The holy cities on earth shall be materialized by receiving the devotion from humanity. The love and praise and gratitude for father and mother in whatever form it is expressed through a pure heart. The cities are therefore negative versus humanity, receiving the devotion to materialize them. And then it says the poles shall be corrected as follows. The negative receptive pole is the physical body. The positive proactive pole are the other etheric bodies. Now, previously the physical body was more proactive. Now it's going to be receiving resources, energy, information, guidance from our higher bodies. And the negative receptive pole is all feminine beings. All masculine beings should proactively support. And, people ask, well, how do I put this into practice? Because every time we align ourselves with the infinite will, every time that happens, we become empowered. So if we practice any principles that have become the new reality, we will find that we are empowered in our life. How can masculine beings support the feminine? My brothers and sisters, you will definitely know there are many, many single mothers out there in the job market, little children at home that are without mothers because they're having to work for financial reasons. There are multiple ways in which you can support families like that. If you are male and you have some skill sets, like just helping them fix a cupboard door or something that they don't have the same skill set to fix, ask them in what way you can, in any way, support them. You see, there's another thing that is very interesting. There were two frequencies lacking as of 2 days ago within the cosmos. One of these frequencies is the frequency of knowing that we are able to protect our own boundaries. And this knowing that we are able to protect our own boundaries will enable us to be kind. Because people have used indifference and they used cruelty, because especially when they're in cities and on every street corner there's a beggar and people are in dire straits, they were scared that if they helped them or if they did random acts of kindness, that those people would come back for more and more and more and make their life not too pleasant. If we know that we can support our boundaries to do kind things where there are single mothers or something in need of our assistance, is proactively give. For women, you have a proactive side, you have a negative side. If there are mothers struggling or other women struggling, reach out and assist. Now, the negative receptive pole has become the crown chakra, and the positive proactive pole has become the root chakra. There's a huge hidden benefit behind these weird words, because the crown chakra used to be the etheric realms. And then late in 2007, the physical realms and the crown chakra's more etheric realms of the cosmic chakras, if you will, reversed. And physicality became the crown chakra, and the root chakra became the etheric realms. We have been giving and giving and giving beyond measure in physicality, because it is in the physical, densest areas of life, which just happens to be humanity, that all life has pivoted. And so we have had to solve the karma of multiple races that are more etheric, and this has produced overactivity for us. So the wonderful good news is that because the masculine is instructed to support the feminine and material life has become more feminine, we're going to be able to receive more support from the etheric realms. If we call upon angels, if we call upon beings to enter our lives with beneficial assistance, they're going to be able to do that more effectively. Now, the negative receptive pole is the nervous system. And the pranic fields, because the pranic tube was changed to pranic fields during the first months in 2008, when Mother eliminated duality and polarity. So the pranic fields are going to support the nervous system. This should give us a feeling of more stability. The growth in the ascension process, especially for humanity, which has been the pivot point, has been very, very overwhelmingly fast, and we have felt very stretched thin. Now we're in the more receptive role and the etheric more supportive. The nervous system is more being supported by the pranic fields. Now the last one that the poles were written into the Book of Life that needed to change is the infinite, or the divine mother and father, have become the receptive pole, and the proactive pole has become creation. This is fascinating because it said, the holy cities on earth shall be materialized by receiving the devotion from humanity. Prior to this, Mother was the one that was going to be materializing these holy cities on earth. Currently, that has changed. We have to do it. How? Through love and praise and gratitude. Well, you may say, I'm only one person. My brothers and sisters, you're only one person, but you are the pivot points of humanity because you are the way showers. And as such, you are the archetypes of humanity, and you have possibly suffered quite a bit in your life because you have mirrored the more macrocosmic humanity picture. But you absolutely can help materialize the city closest to your area or all of them if you have enough love, praise, and gratitude, even if you are only one. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
But let's talk about the very important event of the of the holy city that materialized over Johannesburg in South Africa. My brothers and sisters, Africa has been dying. Its people have been dying, its land has been dying, its weather patterns have been dying, and then people have also been in warfare with one another on localized areas and so forth. There is a reason for that, and that is that Africa has been the root chakra of the world, and it has not been pulsing properly. And you know, we spoke about how the root chakra and the crown chakra actually reversed. When this happened, similar events happened in the human physiology, in the human chakra system. And we have a website for you called AlmeenHealing.com. And that was a website in which healers can obtain the free cutting-edge information that occurs when the cosmos changes, because man is that microcosmic wonder. They change simultaneously. And so we will put on there regularly updates as things change. The entire website is designed for healers. So AlmeenHealing.com, and we'll show you some interdimensional photographs that's been taken during healing on that site, as well as empirical scientific evidence of before and after testing that was done by a scientist, actually two of them, but the one wrote about it, wrote the reports after 12 minutes of healing that I did to show the world that spiritual healing, in fact, does profoundly affect the human physiology. And so all of that is on AlmeneHealing.com. And if you need more interdimensional photographs, we have it on the www.arubathirina.com. And also some of these sigils and sacred symbols that we mention, they're on there as well. But there was in the library of the ants a prophecy on this, the disease of people that are HIV positive, and of course the people in Africa were very, very interested in knowing that. They got prophecy out of there, but they got much more out of this holy advent and out of the libraries of the ants yielding its information. Africa became whole again. See, the two portions of South Africa where the pulse of South Africa is contained, and you need both, because if the positive and negative doesn't pulse with one another, then life cannot be sustained. Dynamic energy cannot be sustained. And so if you take a look at the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you will find that there were massive deluges. In the deluges that washed away continents and, you know, came from earth tilts and various things, we discuss how the various cataclysms happened, and you will see that there was a major cataclysm a million years ago, then there was one 800,000 years ago, 75,000 years ago, and there was the Atlantean deluge. Of course, each time Atlantis sank and came up as a new land, and we have mapped that out for you. But the last Atlantean cataclysm was 9,564 years before the crucifixion of Christ, and in 2005, the crucifixion of Christ was 2,022 years ago. Okay, so that would, in 2008, make it 2,025 years ago. So if you add on to 9,564 years, 2,025 years, you have the exact year in which Atlantis sank, and it sank in the last piece of it went down around 5:20 in the afternoon on East Coast time, Toronto time, for instance. And it was in February. So when Atlantis sank and Lemuria sank over these multiple cataclysms, and there was one in particular in which the Earth tilted and the Pacific Ocean rushed northward, some of the Aleutian Islands that link Alaska and Russia are in fact made up of mastodon and mammoth bones. And the ice melted down, bringing debris and ice, according to the ancient Toltec oral teachings, over the area of the Atlantic Ocean during some of these cataclysms as well. They've listed it in that book. But you will see in Secrets of the Hidden Realms that as the maps change, in Africa there are two spots that never are deluged, and they are Ethiopia and South Africa. So the two holy cities in Africa are in Ethiopia and in South Africa. And their opening and pulsating with one another is going to bring life, help with the drought and the weather patterns, and so forth in Africa. And so there should be a huge change and a turnaround. Now, the prophecy for those people who are interested, either for themselves or for others, in the disease that makes people HIV positive, and there is actually a subtle difference between that and AIDS. But the point is that the prophecy goes like this. It says, a god most luminous comes from the south. To rid the world of its guilt of the root. And it means its guilt of the root chakra or sexuality, which is the cause of this disease, having a foothold amongst man. And what it is speaking of is that one of the beautiful brothers, he's a homosexual man in Johannesburg, was completely cured of AIDS. And, or actually this is HIV positive. I know that there is a subtle difference for researchers on the two diseases, but, because I had one of them in my class and he gave me a whole dissertation on it that he wrote in a paper. However, his healing of the disease, he also entered his godhood and immortality during that week. And so the prophecy laid eons ago in this most ancient of libraries, the 129th and final libraries of those petals, prophesied that he would by proxy rid the world of its guilt of the root. And the prophecy says, there are two of them, but the one says, disease is gone, no longer is it real. And to understand this more properly, please look at the book, The Ring of Truth. What then, the disease that humanity still feels? It's a dream that man manifests, that reminds him to heal, flaws in perception and distortion he feels. A dream he will manifest, a desolating scourge, a wasting disease that ends all other disease on earth. Once just seen for the dream that it is, the illusion will be gone of all other disease. Now, this is so interesting because years ago, before AIDS even was known about, talked about, or came into being, and it is an engineered disease that was put into hepatitis vaccine of a few thousand homosexual people in San Francisco. And the prophecy that came to me then is that there would be a desolating scourge that would cover the earth, but that it would be the disease to end all diseases. And in the overcoming of it, one would become immune to all other disease. My brothers and sisters, there have been tests done by researchers when children are born with AIDS, for example, HIV positive. I'm sorry, I don't quite know. I have the paper here, and I need to research it a bit to tell you what the difference is between the two, but it's a subtle difference. So the point is that when children are born with that disease, but they're not told that they have that disease, eventually they become immune. And researchers have found that in these children who have become immune to such a disease, even when tissue samples are taken and the cancer virus is introduced into it, it cannot get a toehold. They become immune to other diseases. And so this prophesies that that will be the case. I also, in my prophecy, said years ago, I actually just the other day fished out some of my prophecies that I did in 2007. And I said there that the same thing that I'd said earlier, that this would be the disease to end all diseases. Because when people become immune to it, they're immune to everything. Now, it says in prophecy number two, the white cells in the blood studied will be, man will use it to indicate the wasting disease. See, they test to see, you know, how, whether you have got a white blood cell count or not. And can he not see that this cannot be? For mother has metamorphosed the human species. Protectiveness is no longer a reality. No white cells are needed to protect against disease. Thus, in the highly evolved white blood cells are no more, for disease is no longer a reality as it was before. There is no protection needed against one's own dreams. When perception is gained, the dream shall no longer be. And it's fascinating here that they say protectiveness is no more. And if you remember, disease is no more. It is not a reality. It is the issue of viruses and bacteria no longer have a hold on man. And so what we have is a frequency simulating these diseases that we manifest. And we do it because of perception issues that are there. And, you know, in Mother ended my week in Johannesburg with the words, and she said, "Let the golden age of peace begins within the dream. Let the Father dissolve, for he newly reformed waits. Let all my creations within the dream dissolve. Let them be recreated in the realms of the dreamer. Let my body be dissolved, except for my original heart cell. Let my heart cell exist, the dream, and let my heart cell exit the dream and enter the body of the dreamer. Let the dream be dissolved, and let the time of peace begin." What Mother said there is that a new era is heralded in when the root chakra of the earth, which is Africa, starts to properly pulse. So, my brothers and sisters, let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So I did want to share with the folks something that was asked over and over again by the South African masters, because they wanted to understand why they are living behind bars with guard dogs, with security systems, why it's not safe to drive on certain nights, certain roads at night and things like that. What is the reason for that? And they, in fact, wanted to understand the purpose of chaos. So, my brothers and sisters, I wanted to share that with you because the answer surprised me immensely. And So let's look at the purpose of chaos. For chaos to be within the perfection of the infinite's being, I knew that it had to have had a purpose. For eons of existence, the sons and daughters of light have known very little about chaos. They haven't even understood it when it's mirrored by those who have embodied chaos because, you know, we've mentioned this before. One can only understand that which is within yourself. And so until the purpose of life changed in August of 2006, which we discuss in the book, The Ring of Truth, when a huge, massive pole reversal happened in the macrocosm, and it was in the cosmos, and chaos was seen up until that point as a growth mechanism. So the purpose of life up until that point had been to comprehend certain portions of existence by turning the unknown into the known through experience. And so after that, it changed. It became that we needed to create through the heart. And so we became the innovators of life rather than the explorers of what is not and what is. But if chaos is defined as the unidentifiable portions of existence, because remember, up until August of 2006, our duty was to comprehend certain portions of existence by turning the unknown into the known through experience. So we use that as the definition and say that if chaos is defined as the unidentifiable portions of existence that cannot be determined as to whether they reflect the infinite perfection or not without experiencing them. August 2006 should have been a dramatic turning point. In other words, we should have had a lot less chaos because that was solved. At that juncture of existence, all within existence had been identified as to whether it was life-enhancing or whether it was not. So if, on the other hand, chaos is defined as something else, let's define it as the perpetuating of obsolete patterns, the cosmic ascension that has been in full effect since 2005, as we mentioned in February, should have brought a dramatic lessening of it. Within the etheric realms, the cosmic ascension's effects have been profound. So in material life, chaotic conditions still seem to exist. How can this be? If chaos is no longer there to signal us where the mystery of beingness waits to be solved and obsolete pattern dissolving has not brought an end to it, what then explains chaos? Although there has been a lessening of chaos due to these two factors, and the results are not as visible in what has changed, but rather in what hasn't happened, the large-scale catastrophes long predicted that have not occurred. So the core of the problem of our not seeing the desired degree of diminishing chaos lies in our not properly understanding what it is. To explain the role that chaos has played within the large picture of cosmic growth, it's necessary for us to comprehend how cosmic growth takes place. So the dynamics of cosmic growth, my brothers and sisters, go like this. Certain building blocks of existence hold the large template or pattern of life in place. Within this pattern, and let's think of it as the ideal, individual beings have a certain amount of freedom of expression. They will either choose to work with the pattern, as we've previously said, and be empowered, or they will cooperate with the highest good, or they won't. Two scenarios can shift the overall template. Firstly, if enough beings cooperate with the large pattern, the infinite's will, bringing its full potential into actuality by contributing their rich and diverse interpretation of it. But number four, not only can we evolve life by finding new ways in which to express this perfection, but the infinite can as well. This occurs by the infinite exploring itself within that specific pattern or perspective, when enough self-perception takes place the infinite's pattern of expression, the template, transfigures to a higher one. This is growth through grace. The large will of the infinite, or template, is the highest order of existence in the cosmos at any time. Our lives, as we strive to bring them into alignment with the big picture, are of a lower order. So because the minute we catch up to some extent with the perfection of the large pattern, we cause it to transfigure to a higher one yet again. That gap always remains. So at this point, our definition of chaos needs to change to reflect the actual process of cosmic growth. Chaos is instead part of the infinite's perfection when we realize it is a higher order seen from a lower order's perspective. A master often lives with compressed time. For those in linear time, it seems like they are frantically busy. But they're living in the moment, and that compresses time. So this higher order of living is seen from a lower order's perspective as chaotic. That's the way it is for us. A higher order's perspective sees the perfection of the divine pattern, while the lower order, those of us, you know, struggling to catch up with the divine pattern, sees it as chaos. The caterpillar, not yet able to see the beauty of the butterfly he is transfiguring into, finds his metamorphosis catastrophic and chaotic. Are we then doomed to always live in chaos because this gap will always exist? Behind the face value, my brothers and sisters, the appearances of life, the pattern can be seen. It takes constant vigilance on our part to cultivate this eternal perspective. To see the perfection of what sages have called the real behind their chaotic appearances. And so the template is the structure of life, the banks of the river, if you want to call it that. The flowing torrent of personal choices lived within its confines is the flow. Neither one is less perfect than another, and each has its place. So, you know, the river might say to the bank, you know, we don't understand why you're going this way and then that way and this way and that way. That's chaotic, because the bank has a specific pattern that the river must follow, which, because it can't see around the next bend, looks chaotic. The banks might look at this torrential flow and think it's chaotic. So on the 24th of June, 2008, the laws of reality were changed in the Book of Life, my brothers and sisters, to reflect the following. The gap between the highest order of the template and the lower order of the collective expression of the beings of the cosmos shall be reduced to a 1% difference. The remaining 1% shall change at a rate that produces a comfortable and well-rooted pace of growth. It shall act as a timing mechanism that provides just enough opportunity for the emerging butterfly to gain the strength to fly. So the gap of chaos is reduced. Now, the interesting thing of it is, yes, it is reduced, but the hardest portions to change are in fact there. The difficult parts are held in that 1% gap. To explain this well, let's say that somebody has toothache or doesn't have very good teeth and can't chew very well. They have food on their plate. They eat all the easy food first. The mashed potatoes, the corn, the peas, all of that is really soft. They eat it all up. Now, all that's left is the steak. This might present 1%. I know that that wouldn't be the case, but let's say it presents the 1% left. But it's going to be the one that takes the longest to chew and swallow. In that way, this 1% becomes a timing mechanism, because we don't just keep wanting to shoot from template to template to template, that makes growth that doesn't have roots. It gives us wings, but it doesn't give us roots. In your own life, if you are only based in proactivity, my brothers and sisters, if you don't take enough time for beingness, and it doesn't mean just meditation, because the most profound beingness is to live in meditation, to live in that place with full awareness to the now. One of the other frequencies that has been put in the last few days is that man will once again see himself as a steward of nature and appreciate that nature is healing to his heart. Take time to be in nature. Take time to be. Because if you only are in doingness, only reaching for the next horizon all of the time, what happens instead is that we end up having wings, but no roots. Our template changes, but we are forever on the run, chasing the next template. And there isn't enough time to give it the depth. So this timing mechanism prevents growth from always being in doingness, always becoming the next thing. It gives time for it to be anchored in and rooted. And so this is some of the huge, big insights that was gained out of the libraries that were in Johannesburg, because there's the Blue Diamond Library in Johannesburg, and then also the advent of the Holy Cities. So we will end our session for today, and thank you very, very much for being with us.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week. We'll be right back.